Morning, everyone. It's great to be able to share God's word with you. If you haven't met me, I'm David, one of the members here at St. George's. How about I pray for us? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Please help us to understand. Please open our eyes that we might see Jesus clearly this morning and respond to him as our Lord and Savior. And we pray in his name. Amen. Well, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. That's how we began our time together this morning, isn't it? With those famous words written by the English slave trader John Newton after he became a Christian. A man who found life and grace and light in Jesus Christ. A man who, by his own admission, was spiritually blind, but whose eyes were opened by Jesus. And like John Newton, our true story from the life of Jesus this morning, well, it's about a man who was born blind, but finds light and sight through Jesus. As Jesus is going along, he meets this man, and there's a discussion with his disciples over whose sin is behind the man's condition. But Jesus, he's not actually interested in that question at all. He redirects their thinking away from the cause of his blindness towards the purpose for his blindness. The reason that Jesus gives is in verse 3, and we're told that this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in his life. This man was born blind so that we can see God at work in his life. And that's what we're going to do this morning as we look at this chapter. We're going to see how God works in the life of this man who was born blind, bringing sight both physically and spiritually. It'll be super helpful to have your Bibles open to John chapter 9. If you don't have one, I'm sure someone will deliver one to you, probably not by drone, but some other means. So Julie will bring you a Bible if you don't have one, and have it open to John chapter 9 as we look, because it's quite a long passage, so we're not going to have time to read every verse as we go through. It's on page 869 of the Red Bibles. All right, so we've got this man who's born blind and he's healed. And the actual miraculous sign itself is pretty simple, isn't it? Jesus, he just makes mud with his spit. He puts it on the man's eyes, says, go wash in this pool called Siloam. And it seems the man trusts Jesus enough to listen to that. He does as asked, and he comes back seeing. It's simple, but incredible, isn't it? So incredible, as we heard from Kat's little kids talk, that even his neighbours and those who had seen him begging are doubtful if it's the same person. And I guess the story could really end there, couldn't it? The blind man has been healed. He's experienced God's work in his life, and now he sees. But of course, it doesn't finish just yet, because God has more work to do in this man's life. And so I wonder, in your mind, what does it look like to experience God at work in your life? Is it a successful life, a healthy life, a happy life? Particular experience of God, because this man, he's had a pretty good experience, hasn't he? Certainly not something that anybody else has had. He was born blind, but now he sees, and he's suddenly the center of attention in his community. But God has more work to do. God isn't finished with him yet. God wants better things for him. Things like success and health and happiness, the kinds of things you are seeking from God. Well, God wants more to do in my life and your life than give these things. And as we keep reading, we're going to find out just how much it is that God wants to do in this man's life. Well, the healing of this guy causes such a stir that his neighbours decide that what's really needed is a professional religious opinion. That's what you do when you have a miraculous sign happen. You think, well, we need to go to the experts here. And so they take the man to the religious leaders of the day, to the Pharisees, and they find out what do they think. And of course, you assume that, well, everyone is going to be happy for this guy, right? That's how it works. You know, someone who's been born blind now sees, everyone will go, that's amazing. Let's rejoice together. But it turns out not to be the case, does it? What is going on? What with these Pharisees, these religious leaders? Because of all people, we'd expect religious leaders to know when God is at work and rejoice. Why are they so upset? Why can't they see that Jesus is from God and that God is at work through him? Part of the key, I think, is right at the end of the passage in verse 41, where Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and he says, now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. The Pharisees claim to see. You see, they claim to know all about God and how God works. They claim that they are right with God and accepted by God. But Jesus is saying that no one can see by themselves. Actually, that's kind of the point behind the man being born blind. Blindness and darkness was all he ever knew, wasn't it? And as the man observes himself, nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. It doesn't happen. It can't happen. Everyone is in darkness and needs light. And Jesus is the one who can open the eyes of the blind. He is the one who can bring light. And that's what he says in verse 5, isn't it? He says, I am the light of the world. But you know, one sure way to stay in darkness is to think that you can see. Someone who thinks that their vision is perfect, well, they're never going to get their eyes checked out, are they? What about you? How is your spiritual eyesight? Do you see clearly who Jesus is? Or maybe you're suffering from some kind of spiritual blindness. You know, as the Pharisees meet with this blind man and his parents, it's a kind of an interview, isn't it? And as this interview unfolds, I think it tells us quite a lot about different spiritual blindness conditions. So I thought it would be kind of fun to go through some of these conditions that you might suffer from and see how they, if we are affected by any of them. So the first sight condition I noticed here is the Jesus doesn't match my expectations condition. Jesus doesn't match my expectations. You see, this is what we see in verse 16, where the Pharisees say, this man is not from God, for he doesn't keep the Sabbath. You see, the Pharisees, they had particular traditions they kept around the Sabbath. That's God's special day for rest. And Jesus didn't keep their traditions. He didn't do what they expected for someone who was from God. And so their logic goes, therefore Jesus cannot be from God. And tragically, they actually end up more concerned about their traditions than the man who's just been healed, don't they? Sometimes we can have wrong expectations about Jesus too. And when these expectations aren't met, we can end up wondering if it's really worth sticking with Jesus or continuing to investigate him. But as we keep reading, we're going to see that the work that Jesus wants to bring about in the man who was born blind is quite different from many of the hopes and dreams that we might have. Could you be suffering from the Jesus doesn't match my expectations sight condition? We want to keep going back to what Jesus says about himself. We want to be willing to have our expectations shaped by the reality of who Jesus is, not our own desires. Well, next up we have the I've already made up my mind about Jesus sight condition. And the Pharisees, well, they very much suffer from this, don't they? They already think that Jesus is a sinner and not from God before the interview even starts. In verse 16, he doesn't keep the Sabbath. In verse 24, they say, we know this man is a sinner. Verse 29, they don't even know where Jesus comes from. I love this bit. The blind man jumps on them at this point in verses 30 and 32. Because Jesus has done something no one has ever heard of happening before, and they can't even be bothered to make a careful investigation. Are you suffering from the I've already made up my mind about Jesus' sight condition? Or maybe you know someone like this. Perhaps a family member who's already decided what they think about Jesus. I wonder, though, often people who've already made up their mind about Jesus, it's surprising that they've never really read through one of the Gospels as an adult. They've never really investigated as an adult who Jesus is. They've just already decided, but without properly investigating. You know, it can be hard to challenge a family member at this point, I think. If someone has already made up their mind about Jesus, they can be very hard towards responding to an invitation to investigate Jesus more carefully, especially if that comes from within their own family. And it's sure hard to admit you're wrong when you've believed something strongly for a long time, isn't it? But you know what we can do? If we've got family members or long-time friends like that, we can pray. We can pray that God will bring another Christian into their life, someone whom they might be more willing to listen to. I just find that so interesting how God does this. So many people I know have longed for a family member to turn to Jesus. And it hasn't come through them, it's come through someone else that God has brought into their life who's shared the gospel with them in a way that they've been willing to listen to. Well, finally, there's the I can see just fine without Jesus sight condition. And sadly, the Pharisees suffer from this too. In verse 34, they get so angry at this man that they just resort to insults. They say, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? Thanks to Phyllis, who read that line so well. The implication, of course, is that they are not sinners, isn't it? The Pharisees thought they knew all about God. They didn't think they were blind. They didn't think they needed anyone to open their eyes. They thought they were wise enough to judge who Jesus is without even hearing him. They thought they were acceptable to God because of their own goodness and efforts. But the truth is that they were blind, just as Jesus says. And as they look into the light that Jesus brings, well, sadly, it's only making them even more blind. Could you be suffering from the I can see just fine without Jesus sight condition? Maybe this is obvious. You figure you can find your own way through life without really needing to depend on Jesus. Or more subtle, perhaps you consider yourself acceptable to God because you're basically a good person. But deep down you know that really you just rely on the fact that you've hung out with Christians at church rather than trusting in Jesus and his death on the cross and rising to new life alone for salvation. Lastly, could you be suffering from the I'm afraid to be associated with Jesus sight condition? This is the condition that the man's parents suffer from. Did you notice how careful they were in the answers they give to the Pharisees when they're interviewed? We don't actually know what they thought of Jesus, do we? All they say is, yes, this is our son. Yes, he was born blind, but how? We don't know. Why don't we know what they think of Jesus? Well, verse 22 tells us. In verse 22, we find out that they are afraid. They fear being excluded because of association with Jesus' name. They fear the Jewish leaders more than the Messiah, God's forever King. Again, could this sight be the sight condition you suffer from? Do people kind of know you're a Christian, but you never really talk about what you believe or think out of fear about how others will react? Or maybe you're reluctant to mention that you're a Christian at work because it might impact career prospects, or well, it's just not the kind of thing that you talk about at work. I'm not saying, of course, that you won't experience shame or exclusion or loss of job prospects. In contrast with his parents, that's exactly what happens to the man born blind, isn't it? Although it's worth noting that the opposition that this man faces leads him to grow in his maturity and understanding about Jesus. God brings good out of the opposition he faces. But I really want to encourage us here at St. George's not to be blinded to Jesus out of fear. Elsewhere, Jesus says that if anyone is ashamed of him, then he will be ashamed of them when he comes. But you know, I think we can confidently be associated with Jesus. I mean, who's greater here in this story? Who's more powerful in this story? Is it the leaders, these Pharisees? Or is it God's forever King? It's God's King, isn't it? And Jesus won't abandon anyone who's excluded, who's because they belong to him. I mean, think about what happens after the man is thrown out by the Pharisees. But look at verse 35, where Jesus hears that they've thrown him out and he goes and finds him. Isn't that great? Jesus hears that he's been thrown out and goes and finds him. Jesus knows those that he is owned, who are his own. Jesus is present with those who are his own. Jesus is compassionate and loves his own. And he will bring those who belong to him to eternal life and safety. We don't need to fear because the one we rely on is more powerful. You know, if you're interested in what this could look like in practice, I would suggest you talk to Tamara, my wife, after the service today, because everyone in her workplace knows that she's a Christian. Rather than waiting for the right moment or trying to suss out what others think, she's always talking about what it means for her to be a follower of Jesus and the difference that he makes in her life. Everyone knows where she stands with Jesus. And her courage in doing this has led to so many great opportunities for her work friends to see more clearly who Jesus is. So far, she hasn't been thrown out of the university. Maybe this year, who knows? But so far she hasn't been thrown out. But you know what? Even if that should happen, even if she should lose her job, she knows it's better to lose now and have life with Jesus later. It's better to lose now and have life with Jesus later. Are you blind to who Jesus really is? Not seeing who Jesus is a matter of life and death. In the chapter before, John 8, verse 24, Jesus says that if we do not believe, we will die in our sins. Do you want to see? The first thing to do is to admit blindness and ask Jesus, the light of the world, to open our eyes. All right. Well, you might notice that I haven't yet talked much about the man who was born blind. And with all the great progress he makes in this story, and I hope you noticed it as we read, well, it will be easy to think that surely here is someone who sees Jesus clearly, wouldn't it? Surely. And it's true. I think he does make great steps forward as God works in his life. To begin with, of course, he knows nothing about Jesus, does he? He's blind in every sense of the word. And it's Jesus who comes to him and opens his eyes. Once he washes in the pool and comes back seeing, well, he knows something about Jesus. He knows that Jesus is powerful and perhaps compassionate and loving. But he can't even find Jesus again. And then as the Pharisees question him and push against him, well, he slowly progresses in what he thinks about Jesus. In verse 17, he'll say Jesus is a prophet, someone who brings God's message. By verse 27, he seems to consider himself to be a follower of Jesus. Verse 31, he'll say that Jesus is a godly person who does God's will. And then finally, in verse 33, he confidently concludes that Jesus must be from God or he could do nothing. Look at that progression in his life and understanding of Jesus, from complete blindness to Jesus must be from God. And it's at that point, of course, that he's thrown out by the Pharisees. That means really more than just kind of kicked out of the room. This man is excluded from public worship with his community. Telling the truth about Jesus has really cost him, hasn't it? Surely he sees enough of who Jesus is, right? But maybe not, because Jesus comes and finds him again. God isn't finished working in this man's life yet. In fact, it seems that despite everything that's happened so far, he's still blind. Because one more thing has to happen. He has to believe Jesus is God's King sent to save us from our sins and rule our lives. And that's what we see happen as Jesus says, I am the Son of Man. In verse 38, the man believes and worships. He places his trust in Jesus and he worships Jesus as his Lord and King. Jesus says that the Pharisees still have guilt and are not forgiven, but this man who was born blind now truly sees. He's forgiven. He has right relationship with God. He has Jesus as his King. And his response is one of worship. What about you and me? How is our eyesight this morning? In verse 39, Jesus says he came into the world for judgment Some will see and find light and life with Jesus. But some will not see. Some will remain blind and some will go into darkness. So if you're not a Christian or not sure here this morning, thanks for being with us. I want to invite you to do what this man in our story does. He knew, of all people, he knew best that he was helpless and without hope to see. But Jesus brought light and life and forgiveness into his life. Will you admit that you are blind and need Jesus to open your eyes? Will you believe that Jesus is God's forever King who came into the world to bring light? And will you have Jesus as King of every part of your life? Jesus offers amazing grace and forgiveness that we do not and cannot ever deserve. The man born blind did this, and he knew God's grace in his life. The slave trader John Newton, that we started with, well, he did this centuries later, didn't he? And he knew this same grace. He found freedom and forgiveness from the awful things that he had done with eyes blind to Jesus. And he couldn't keep his joy and worship inside. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Let me pray. But Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you that though we were born blind, unable to see you, unable to respond, unable to do what is right, that you sent your Son into the world as the light of the world to open the eyes of the blind, that we might see you clearly, that we might know you, that we might enter your family and find forgiveness and life and light and hope. We pray that we might be people who long to see Jesus clearly, more and more clearly each day. Please keep opening our eyes. In Jesus' name, amen.